hope you can see the divisions that the Lord has given us to consider. In verse 1 through 9, you have Abraham's most trusted servant swearing to Abraham that he would go and seek, a wife for Isaac. And in verse number 10 through 14, from last two weeks, I think, we saw the servant's prayer, the servant's petitioning of the Lord to bless his coming, to make it fruitful. He asked the Lord for a sign that he might know who the promised one for Isaac would be. And in our text this morning, verse 15 through 28, we find the servant's prayer being answered, the servant's desire being answered by God. And the next portion of this chapter will be lengthy, and we have the servant going to the family, sharing with the family what he had come to do, sharing with the family the way he asked the Lord for a sign. The Lord gave him the sign, and just meticulously explaining to the family who he was and why he was there, that there not be any misunderstanding. And we'll probably, because there is a repeating of the details already covered, probably pass over a lot of these verses next week if we're able to get into them and move on through the remainder of this chapter. But we see here in this 15th verse that it came to pass before he, the servant, had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came. Before the servant was done praying, God seemingly grants his desires. And I think that is such a blessed thought to consider this morning and make application to you and to I. It's a blessed thing to be reminded this morning that God grants our desires. The Almighty Sovereign Creator and God of the universe hears our prayers. And he answers our prayers. He grants our desires. God is a good God and a blessed God. And God is sovereign. And we'll see that amplified before we get done this morning, probably. But the fact that God is sovereign and God is in control and all things are going to be done according to his will, God still grants the desires that we bring before him. Prayer and praying to Almighty God is never a waste of time. Yes, God tells us to pray. Yes, indeed, God commands us to pray. And yes, we must pray because God has commanded us to. We must be obedient. But let us never forget the fact that we should also pray because God hears those prayers. And when we pray according to his will, and Jesus taught us in the Gospels, when we pray according to his will and we pray calling upon His name, or we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God grants our desires. See, this man has come these many miles to carry out his duty, his responsibility to Abraham, and he is being faithful. I believe he was there at the direction of Almighty God. He was doing his duty according to the will of God. He was doing his duty in the name of Abraham, his master. And as he did his due diligence and his responsibility, and as he prayed, God granted those desires that he had. He's come this great distance to find Isaac a wife. I don't want to put this too crudely, but he lays it out before God, saying, God, let it all work out this way so that I might identify this woman that I'm going to take back to Isaac. And he prays and he petitions and he asks God, in the name of my servant Abraham, be merciful to my master Abraham. And God hears those desires. Pretty much just the way the servant laid it out before God. Let it be this, Lord. Let it be this way. And God grants that. God lets it be just that way. And I believe that we have the same blessed hope in 2025 that when we pray according to His will and we pray in His name, in the name of Jesus Christ, He grants our desires. And let me just qualify this a little bit. Jesus is not a name that we can sprinkle over everything comes across our minds and we're going to get if we just sprinkle a little Jesus on it. You know, these guys and clowns and these religious programs, just name the name of Jesus, sprinkle a little Jesus on it. That's not what we're talking about here. When we pray according to His will, and we pray in the name of Jesus, and part of that is consistent with the name, the character of Jesus Christ, praying and seeking our desires of God as through Christ, trying to possess the same character of Christ. When we pray seeking our desires and the Lord to bless and grant our desires, praying according to His will, and this is all according to the will of God, and praying in the name of Abraham in the interest of his master, when we seek God's will and we pray consistent with the character of Jesus Christ, what I'm talking about is, in the Bible, you find Jesus praying to God. Many times you find Him going away and praying. John 17 is an entire chapter that gives us the context, word for word, of Christ's prayer to the Father. When we pray according to the will of God, and we pray reflecting that same character that Christ reflected during His life when He prayed, God grants our desires. He really does. It's not a pie in the sky, get whatever you want, name it and claim it, foolishness that is prevalent in the world today. But when we pray according to His will with the same character as Christ, and in the name of Christ, He grants our desires. Look at Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 and 19, 145 Psalms. The Lord is nigh unto all them. The Lord is nigh close to all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Isn't that blessedness before our very eyes? The Lord is close to us, always close to us, close to those that call upon him, to those who call upon him in truth, call upon him in the name of Jesus Christ according to his will. He will fulfill the desires, the desire of them that fear him. People say, I don't believe we ought to fear God. There's no benefit to fearing God. Well, there is a great benefit to fearing God. And all God's people ought to fear him, because fearing him causes him to hear our prayers and to grant the desires of our prayers. In Psalm 34, Psalm chapter 34, verse number 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. God is eyes wide open concerning those who call upon him. His ears are clear to hear the prayers of those that fear him, and Almighty God, he answers our desires. He answers our desires. We see in this passage of Scripture from Genesis, beginning in the second part of that 15th verse, reading the whole, and it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulders. Now, here we have a scenario. Here we have a scene where this servant does not know. He does not know. He does not yet have any way of knowing who this woman's going to be. And when the women come out to fetch their water, he has no way of knowing which one it is that God is going to designate. He does not know her, doesn't have any way of knowing her, and she doesn't know him. How in the world are they going to connect? How in the world are they going to cross paths? How in the world is she going to be revealed to the servant? And how in the world is she going to be willing, be made willing to go with this servant, as we've said, on a trip 500 miles away from home? Not only on a trip 500 miles away from home, but on a trip that most likely she would never return home again. How did this all come to pass? Well, as we have pointed out before, all this came to pass, and all this comes to pass because God is working behind the scenes. I think we forget how important prayer is. I think we forget how precious it is that He grants the desires that we pray for. And I think we forget, as we've heard in Sunday school, and I've already touched on a little bit, God is in control of everything. God is in control of all the details, all the amazing details. And nothing is by accident. Nothing is by happenstance. Nothing happens, and somewhere you can hear God say, "Whoa, I didn't expect that. I didn't know that was going to happen." That doesn't happen. God knows exactly what's going to happen. He's planned and purposed it. God is seen throughout the story of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and the raising up of the promised seed and the multiplying of those seeds and the coming forth of the seed, which is Jesus Christ. God is working behind the scenes. He's working behind the scenes, having this woman come out with her pitcher to, looks like, first in line. Maybe first in line. And God has this man prepared and this man where he needs to be. And God works behind the scenes. I wonder if God's working behind the scenes of anybody here this morning. You don't believe He does? Better read your Bible a little bit closer. You don't believe God works behind the scenes, that God works in every little detail of the world, every little detail of your life? You don't think God is in control and God hasn't been working behind the scenes in bringing you here this morning? Then you are greatly deceived. He's in control of all these things. "Well, I decided I'm going to go to church today." Yeah, well, who was working behind the scenes to make you make that decision? "Well, I'm a free will. I always do what I want." You don't do anything God doesn't want you to do. He's in control of all this. I mean, I look at the world affairs. All that is going on in the world. All that is going on regarding our own country. So many things. I never expected that. I never thought that would happen. But God expected it. You connect all these things that are a part of what's happening in the United States of America, particularly politically, and the impact and the effect that that's having upon the world. I never expected that. I never saw that coming. Well, God expected it. God saw it coming. God planned and purposed it. The nations of the Middle East and all that is happening, while we go on our merry little way, living our merry little lives, disconnected and out of tune, not realizing what God is doing. Jesus is coming again, and never has it been more apparent that He's coming again than right now. Look at what's going on in the world. God is preparing. He's working behind the scenes in the coming of His Son. You look at the United States of America and what's going on with our country and our political powers that are and will be, and things that are going on in the world. God is working. God is preparing. God is working and God is preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ. In our country and all that's going on in the world, and then you got all that's going on religiously. I gave you the testimony of that woman who was talking to me, and she didn't get why they were putting so much emphasis, so much importance on the death of Pope Francis. I don't get why the world is putting such emphasis upon the new pope and how the whole world is embracing him. Seems like the whole world is lifting him up. You can't turn on the television without his picture and without stories about him. All in fulfillment. All in fulfillment of the role that Catholicism is going to play during the tribulation period. God is working behind the scenes. It's boggling to my mind, and I'm studied, well-versed maybe I would say, in the coming of Christ in the last days and the tribulation period and all that Revelation lays out before us and God's timetable. And I got a little off my track. I want to come back and ask you, what has God been doing behind the scenes in your life, bringing you here right now? Are you lost in your sins, on your way to hell? Dead in your trespasses and sins, desperately needing to be saved? And has God brought you to such a time as this? Has God brought you to such an hour as this? Has God been working behind all the scenes of your life through all the past 7 days in bringing you here to hear about Jesus Christ and have one more opportunity to receive Jesus Christ? Could it be? What is God doing behind the scenes in your life? And why has he been doing this to bring you here? What would God have you to be? What would God have you to do? What is he doing behind the scenes to get you to do that, to say that? What's your need right now? And what has God been doing behind the scenes of your life? And we never want to say try in the truest sense of the word. God never tries anything. But in a loose understanding of the word, what is God in all the behind the scenes things, what is God trying to get you to do? When I say we don't believe that God tries, what we believe is God's going to do exactly what God's planned and purposed. It's going to happen if God has planned and purposed it. I'm asking you to use your human reasoning. What has God been doing? All that he's been doing behind the scenes, what has God been trying to teach you, call you to? What has God been trying to bring you to accept? Are you lost? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Are you saved? Be baptized. Follow your Lord in scriptural baptism. That's what Sister Christina is doing. Baptism doesn't save. She's not trusting baptism to save her. She has already given testimony that she believes Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for her. She believes Jesus Christ has already saved her. She's being baptized to picture what God has already done for her. Are you saved but never been baptized? Why? I think we're going to read in our scripture reading before the baptism the eunuch asked Philip, "What hinders me from being baptized?" Good question. He asked the right person. Philip was the one that had been sent to him. But I want to snatch that question out of the context, place it into the context of our service this morning. What has God been doing behind the scenes in your life? What has God been trying to get you to wake up and do, using the term biblically? What has God been calling you to do? If you're saved and you've never been baptized, I can guarantee you he won't call you to do anything else. He's not going to go leapfrogging over that and go on to something more important and use you in some greater way. Until you follow your Lord in scriptural baptism, you're not going to be in his will, and he's not going to leapfrog and answer other prayers. If he's working behind the scenes, and I ask you the question, what hinders you from being baptized? What's the answer to that? What is it? There's a reason that you haven't followed your Lord. Unto him be glory in the church. We've been talking so much about the church, and I'm tired, and I'm not even going to apologize anymore. I'm tired of apologizing for preaching church truth when it's the most glorious thing outside of salvation there is to consider. I'm not going to apologize anymore. You're saved? Okay. Are you scripturally baptized? What does baptism do? It fulfills the righteousness of God in your life. It gives you a clear conscience before God. But it also adds you to the Lord's church. You may not like it, and there may be a better way of putting it. I don't know what it is. But baptism is the door to the Lord's church. You must be saved before baptized. You must be baptized into the membership of one of the Lord's churches. What hinders you? Well, I'm not into that church stuff. Well, you better get into it, because God's all the way into it. Unto him be glory in the church, Ephesians 3:21. The church is what? It's not a building. The church is not. Everyone that's here, the church is those called out ones that God has called into an assembly. And God is glorified in and through the local church. Unto him be glory in the church. The word church there is ecclesia. Try not to be too repetitious. Local visible assembly. God is glorified in the local visible assembly. You'd better get into church if you want to glorify him. You better take church seriously. What is God doing behind the scenes? I thought of my wife and I. Lord gave me this illustration. I did not get her approval. Somewhere around 1975, going into 1976, what was significant about 1976? Trivia question. It was the bicentennial year for our country. Anyways. 1776. 1976. That's not my point. But me and my cousin Mark and my best friend from school, we went down to Lexington, Kentucky, to attend a Bible conference. Wednesday night we heard a lot about conferences and why don't we go to them more and why do we shun and why do we have time for everything in the world but hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Those who have nothing good comes out of a conference, it's just a bunch of preaching. How can you say nothing good comes out of a bunch of preaching? Is that not an offense to Christ? Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was Jesus Christ. So good always comes out of the preaching of truth. But I continue on. I'm not lost myself yet. Me and my cousin Mark and my best friend from school, we went down to a Baptist Faith Missions Conference. It was held and sponsored by two different churches in the Lexington area, Fellowship Baptist Church on Limestone, and I can remember that. And the other church was right next door to a slaughterhouse where they slaughtered animals. And we loved to, in between services, run over and watch the animals getting it. And they were not humane about how they were getting it back then. The stink was, oh. But we went down to that conference. We really didn't go for any spiritual reason. I didn't go for any spiritual reason. I just wanted to go get away from home. This is my first trip, you know, on my own. Of course, Mom and Dad were at the conference, but they weren't riding with me. It was freedom. And I can remember meeting this girl on that trip, not thinking much about it. If you've heard our testimony, talking about our testimony at all, we were in church at Fellowship Baptist Church. J.B. Finneson was the pastor. Towards the back of the church, I sent her a little note. I don't recall in any way, shape, or form what I wrote in my little note. But she wrote me back and said, I do not write notes in church. This really happened, folks. So the conference ended. We went back to Michigan. About a couple years later, I went down to Lexington Baptist College to attend Bible college there in Lexington. Ashland Avenue Baptist Church was the host and the authority behind the conference, college. And I wonder if she's still around. Wonder what she's up to. And I knew, my parents knew, some folks from Bryan Station, the Cooks, and they would come up to Michigan every once in a while and visit with the folks and my grandparents and vice versa. And I got connected with them somehow or another. Anyways, to make a long story short, we reconnected. Amazing, isn't it, the way God works? Behind the scenes through all these years. And again, not to make a long story short, but the end of the story, unless you get bored to death. We ended up married. I've been married 47 years. But God was working all that behind the scenes. And I'm so thankful that He did and that He does. We're going to close there. We'll have to pick up with this portion of Scripture next week again.